Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I, Charles the Fourth, or is it the Third?
Bloody pen.
We will strive for the denazification of the
Let me put it to you.
Can't grow. Yes, you
if
can.
You win by one, you've won.
The phone went over the side.
It is time to draw in the
I just think everyone should be sure.
What the fuck is going on?
Oh, they're all copying me now. Even the king. Hello. I'm Mark Steele, and welcome to my podcast where each week I ask the question, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
It's one of those weeks when Britain is the envy of the world because every single news channel is going, welcome back to our 24-hour live Royal Cancer Rolling News coverage. We have over 300 reporters covering every aspect of the King's condition, including Sophie Buttersquash with a cancer cam that enables her to report from inside the royal sphincter. And then they go, now we're looking at a branch of Marks and Spencer's, which is quite near to the hospital where King Charles was examined. This may be where visitors to the king popped in for a sandwich after they accompanied him to his scan. This hasn't been confirmed yet by Buckingham Palace. The visitors may have brought their own food, snack. They may have allergies. We don't yet know. And now let's talk to Dr. Grouse-Pellet, who has himself examined over 20 patients in his long career. Doctor, there has been speculation that since the King's coronation last year, each of his organs has grown a crown, and this could be the cause of the cancer that has been diagnosed. What are your feelings on that? Then there's 40 minutes of drone footage of Buckingham Palace, so you expect them to say, the good news, as far as we can see, is that the cancer hasn't spread to the structure of the palace. There was some concern that it could have moved onto one or even two of the balustrades and maybe a chandelier, but the managers of the building issued a statement this morning that all the rooms have been thoroughly scanned and there is no cause for alarm. So that certainly is very, very good news indeed. At one point, the BBC News gave us a live update that said, Buckingham Palace tourists say he'll pull through. Oh, thank the Lord for that, because theirs is the opinion that matters. I was the same when the consultant said he felt my cancer was curable with a high rate of recovery. I said, never mind what you think, mate. What does that Japanese bloke outside Buckingham Palace think? And then they go, the palace has not yet revealed where the cancer might be. There's been some speculation that it could be cancer of the scepter. And if so, there is a possibility that the chemotherapy will mean the king will lose his crown, but the good news is it will grow back. And then there's going to be headlines in the newspapers going, did Meghan Markle cause King's cancer? We speak to a leading royal medium who believes the king's condition is Diana's revenge. Defence expert warns King's cancer could be part of Hamas terrorist plot. But to be fair, at least all this non-stop 24-hour wall-to-wall royal cancer coverage has increased awareness of a very serious disease, mental illness.
Hey, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on?
This week, ex-Prime Minister Liz Truss set up a new group, Popular Conservatives, at a press conference in which she outlined some of her exciting new policies that will make Britain great again.
Hi guys. For too long, our Valentine's days have failed to live up to the potential that this great romantic occasion demands. As popular conservatives, we say it's high time we ditched the lazy consensus and had a radical rethink. This year, instead of roses, why not give your sweetheart a box of dying frogs? For too long, the established orthodoxy has insisted we celebrate with a bottle of pink champagne. Instead of boring old fizz, why not give your loved one a glass of polonium 210 in a beautiful crystal glass from the Russian government? And instead of a candlelit dinner, why not shake things up with a candlelit river of petrol, leading to a nuclear power plant? Now, I know that some people are going to point out that when they followed my advice last Valentine's Day, it caused a meltdown, meaning that every coastal region in Japan had to be evacuated. But that's only because we didn't go far enough. Thanks to the woke anti-Valentine's Day coalition, such as Greenpeace, the BBC, the United Nations, the World, and Emma Watson. Whereas if they'd done as I suggested and doused it in gunpowder, we'd now have the fastest growing Valentine's Day since records began. Happy Valentine's Day.
Now, you can't even begin. You should know this by now. To try and find out what the fuck is going on unless you've got expert advice, a wide, diverse range of expert advice. He's not wide, but he's diverse. And, oh, what a mess I've made of this. This is why I never get to do the Oscars. And now with us, we've got some old fucking wanker, Jack Nicholson. I didn't mean it. Mick Ferry.
If you ever get Jack Nicholson on the show, I swear I'd shit my pants. That'd be fantastic. You start, every time you do this, you sound like Peter Cook more and more.
Well, my voice might have changed slightly given various things that have been sort of zapped about in me in recent months, but I don't know, but I probably was a little bit Peter Cook. He was, where was he from exactly? I don't know.
I have no idea. I'd imagine down south somewhere, wasn't he?
I don't think he was a Geordie, was he?
I don't think so. No. Barnsley, Yorkshire, he wasn't from Yorkshire. He wasn't Geordie, he wasn't Scottish, he wasn't Welsh. He's from London. I'd say he's from the London area.
Yeah, God, that's terrible not knowing that. But I'm quite happy to say not Peter Cook.
No, that's fine. He wasn't a criticism. I was just saying, you sounded like Peter Cook.
I was going to say, you sound like, and I was going to pick some generic northerner. Do you know?
Yeah, which is what they do on Radio 4. Whenever they want to do a stupid voice, they do a generic northerner.
All right, let's Radio 4. The Radio 4 has been discriminating against northerners. So we've got a couple of actors in to do the radio play.
Yeah.
That'd be it, right. All right, let's do that then. Oh, no. A bloody Carl's gone missing again.
Oh, really? Well, have you looked in pits? It might be down there.
Oh, they shut pit down. Don't you remember?
No, I don't remember.
Villagers ne'er been same. We've all been on heroin ever since.
That's right, because it's right cheap round here, though. I started taking after my mother give it me.
Well, heroin, mine, we're all keeping it going, but now Tory just shut that down and all.
Oh, well, heroin farm gone as well.
Aye, happen.
But it is a bugbear about whenever you hear anything on Radio 4 and they want to make anybody sound stupid, they just do a generic northern accent and it fucking pisses me off.
Yes, or do you remember Benny from Crossroads?
Yeah. That was a Brummy, the slight Brummy accents, yeah.
Did he have a Brummy accent, though? I can't remember if he did.
I think he did, Miss Diane.
I know they were all, but...
He famously disappeared while going looking for a screwdriver, and then that was it.
Have you met, what, in the programme?
In the programme, he just, in real life, I think in the programme, he actually said he was going to go get a screwdriver, and nobody ever saw him again in the programme, and nobody ever talked about him again.
They'll bring it back one day, and a 93-year-old Benny will come in, and
Oh, where have you been? Well, B&Q was shut, so I had to walk all the way around the world. I managed to find one in the Philippines.
Yeah, it turned out it was the Philips I needed.
I had to walk all the way back.
Well, they've got form for doing that. It happened in Coronation Street years ago when young Tracy Baldwin, she went upstairs to listen to some music and then reappeared 16 years later.
Yes.
A different actress.
I used to love Coronation Street. And every now and again on YouTube, I sort of look at an old Coronation Street and it was brilliant. I think up until about the late 70s.
Yeah.
And in the early days, it was part of that, you know, the sort of angry young men playwright sort of thing, John Osborne and all that. It was those people. Ken Loach, I think, had something to do with it. Or certainly...
really?
Yeah. Certainly some of the Jim Allen, some of these left-wing playwrights. Stan Ogden, right? You remember Stan Ogden?
Yeah.
He was just a slobby window cleaner who was very funny, but he was ill, his useless husband. And Stan Ogden was originally written into Coronation Street as a Spanish Civil War veteran. And then they changed his character to just being a fucking useless window cleaner who never mentioned the Spanish Civil War again.
Here, Stan, you're back from Spain.
Oh, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. All it ever is with you, whenever I ask you to do a simple thing like put the bins out, oh, I couldn't do that because I were fighting against the fascist Francoists with me bloody Republican mates out in Barcelona. Well, what about getting back here and bloody tidying up the table for once in your useless life?
I never knew that about it. That's fantastic. Oh, they kept that part of his character. That'd have been great, especially when he had a drink. That'd have been lovely when he was pissed.
Yeah, which he often was with Eddie Yates. Right, who was, I remember, so this was not, this must have been early 70s when I was watching it. I mean, it's about the only thing that I used to watch with my mum and we both liked it. And I remember, who was it? I think it was Emily Bishop, who was this very innocuous character.
Mm.
She got very energised by a local environmental campaign, I think. I can't remember what it was, but something was going to be built and there was a protest about it. And Emily Bishop tied herself to a tree and threw a brick through a police window, through a police car window. I'm pretty sure, I know people are going to write in now, so I've got details of that wrong, but it was something like that. It was a bit brilliant. This was like in the way before she was predating your swampy people by 20 years.
Like you said, she was a really nondescript character. There was nothing, there was nothing shocking about her at all. I mean, her husband got shot in a robbery.
Of course.
But she never remarried.
No,
after that.
Well, she was volatile.
Ken would have had a sniff, though, wouldn't he? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He married most of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I don't mean it to be disparaging, but, someone's innocuous for 15 years and then throw a brick through a police car window. It smells trouble, doesn't it?
We've all got it in us. Yeah, there's something going on there.
Right, so I was informed by Elliot yesterday when I was doing other things that there's a proposal. You see this, that the retirement age is raised, or more than a proposal. It's been said that it's a necessity that the retirement age is eventually raised in this country to 71. 71.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I know we're comics, so that make fuck all difference to us.
But I'm in the north, and I think that's conveniently past the average lifespan. I think it's quite clear the tactic from the Tories. Half the country will be dead before 71, so there'll be no pension to pay out.
I love that. There's a brilliant joke by, there's many brilliant jokes by Kevin Bridges, but well, he says his dad was 70, and he says, try getting a 70th birthday card in the west of Scotland. He said, I went into the shop, and the bloke just looked at me bemused and went, I've got a 40 and a 30. I can do you that if you want.
In terms of pension, I mean, I haven't got one. But what's remarkable is the way it's just been received in the news. People have moaned about it and just gone. When they announced something similar in France,
yeah,
they set fire to the country.
Yeah. Well, then it went up to 64.
Yeah.
Not 71.
Yes.
So that's the amazing thing. That is what happened. And people here, and 52% of people who voted here presumably had the attitude at that time, we're at last, we're not like the French. Who wants to be like the French?
Yeah.
They work 7 years less than us. Fuck that.
yeah, exactly. This is why I voted for Brexit, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to work longer.
I want to be made to work 7 years extra.
Yeah.
And given that their working week is nothing, yeah, then that's...
Yeah, but I mean, you're looking at jobs that when you get to that age, I mean, surely I think B&Q is the biggest employer of elderly people in the country. I mean, are they planning on opening more branches? And no offence, yeah. I've actually wandered round B&Q and had an old fella trying to help me find some concrete once, and it was a disaster because he kept wandering up the wrong aisles. So I was to the point where I thought he was taking the piss out of me. I thought, I've asked the wrong person here. And he did work there, but he just couldn't remember where the concrete was.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he probably forgot he was in B&Qs altogether, did he?
Exactly. But the thing is, we're all going to be, you know, 71-year-olds up and down the country working various... I mean...
That's where Benny went. That's the branch of B&Q that Benny went. A screwdriver? Come this way. Come on, mate, I've been 36 years.
Yeah, you imagine kids being patient in a KFC while 70-year-olds put together a chicken bucket for them. How many pieces again? It's going to be horrific.
God. When I had my... to have a little operation, well, not that little, at the start of all my... this. Elf business, and there was one guy who was forgetful, and he was, I think, he was an agency nurse, and I don't want to be disparaging, though, you know, they've all been wonderful and all that, absolutely, I've said that many times, but this guy, and it was in the middle of the night, and I had to get up for me little, I thought, oh, I should have come round with this little bucket of tablets that I had to bring, little tiny thing, plastic cup of these tablets, and there was one guy, but I recognised that these little blue ones were the morphine. So I thought, that's the serious one. So that's, make, you know, get that right. And he's giving me that with a little blue morphine one and a couple of other things. And then he went, now, I've just got to get the morphine and then we're done. I said, mate, I think that's the morphine. And he went, oh, is it?
Fuck.
So... I said, you probably ought to get your morphine straight, mate.
Yeah.
What am I like?
imagine he gets home every week and his rounds are getting shorter. That's why I was saying, you don't do much work this week. So, yeah, I've not many people to see.
They're all carking it in my blood. They're all happy while it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be it, though, isn't it?
I think that's the morphine, though. You think you keep that completely separate to anything else?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, because what damage it can do, you just willy nilly throw it into a pot of tablets.
Oh, I know where it is. I put it in the lasagna.
Imagine getting that mixed up with Viagra. That's a blue tablet as well. Just before a big night, you wait there, darling.
He could get an erection, but he was convinced he was a tulip. Now, Rishi Sunak, right? So I've not seen this. This sort of thing, I don't really like with this, Mick, but so the news is, so I've heard it on the news this morning on the radio, Rishi Sunak and Piers Morgan had this hour. I cannot imagine that was illuminating in any way. And of course, because Piers Morgan has to make everything about himself. Mm-hmm. So... he offered a bet, £1,000 bet with Rishi Sunak, that he wouldn't be able to employ, in any practical sense, his Rwanda policy before the general election. No one would actually be deported there, and offered £1,000 bet. And I sort of, I'm more and more thinking that I don't even want to engage with these things, because it's just trivialising it all, isn't it? This is like,
well,
really,
the fact, I mean, there's something incredibly crass about that, that this is people's lives. This is real people you're having a bet on. it's almost, it's a bit like trading places.
Yeah.
You have a dollar bet, see if they can change somebody's life around. I mean,
yes.
It's awful. It's an absolute horrible thing to do. You know what I'd love as also, I've talked about this, I mean, it's, I don't know whether it's practical, but these politicians that are wanting this Rwanda plan, well, why not put them in that situation? Have them for a few months trying to get across the channel, staying in a camp, going through the process, and then flying out there just to see how it feels for themselves before you actually think about putting somebody on a plane to Rwanda, which apparently is now a safe country.
Yeah. So they'd have to come over on a dinghy.
Yeah.
Jacob Rees-Mogg on a dinghy.
His nanny, Rowan.
Yeah. He'd be shouting all the orders in Latin to his poor nanny.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake, woman, I was saying northwest in Latin because it, if one can't chart a dinghy by the stars at this age, one might as well just launch oneself over the side.
But £1,000 bet, I mean, yeah, just... I've seen the clip and it's unsettling, but it's just, I don't know, I think it's it.
It's just him though, isn't it? It's just, it's Piers Morgan has to be, it has to be about him. So he's not done, you know, where if that was Emily Maitlis, she'd think, right, how can I ask the questions that expose the contradictions in what this person is saying? But that's not what he thinks. He just thinks, how can I make that about me? I read one account of it that was like, he's talking to him about, where they met on a plane before, stuff like that. We met once before on a plane. We were going to, I was going to Los Angeles to interview bloody something or something and talk to James Corden and be on the fucking something and meet Simon Cowell and go scuba diving with fucking Michelle Obama. And you, what were you there for? That, one of them people.
Well, he's one of them, right, yeah. I don't imagine Rishi Sunak on a plane. He's got no problem with leg room. I would imagine economy feels like business class to him. But it was in nothing in Sunak's brain that when this bet was offered, it was in nothing that, you know, a little trigger that got before he took his hand, oh, no, this is...
Why
this
don't politicians, I don't, I this is honestly questioning, I don't know why any, you know, regardless of what party, when they're in a situation like that, why don't they just go, oh, don't be such a twat.
Yeah.
What is the matter with you?
You'd have this more respect. You'd have more respect from
wouldn't
him.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's the fucking matter with you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, a bit more Mick Lynch, I think, for a lot of politicians.
Yeah, he'd do it. He'd do it. Now, we have what was the one other thing we have to discuss? Do you know what we have to do? We have to discuss, what are you up to, Mick? Where can people come and see you?
Well, I'm off to Australia for a couple of months. Yeah. February 12th to April, end of April, Adelaide and Melbourne.
I'm always so impressed, even though I know lots of comics go out there this time of year, I'm always so impressed that anyway, because I don't know if it's age or something, but...
I've never been before. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been. I've been offered the opportunity before, and I've turned it down, but said I got to the age of 55, and I thought I might not get asked again.
Where, are you doing, what sort of place are you doing?
I don't know. It's just maybe a collection of gigs. It's I've been taken out there to work until I'm 71.
Right, it's been absolutely marvellous talking to you, Mick. I feel much more enlightened as to what the fuck is going on. Right. You're getting there bit by bit. It's one step at a time. Thank you so much, Mick. No, go and see this man in Adelaide or Melbourne if you're out there. Even if you're not, fly out there. It's not that far these days.
What the fuck is going on?
If you would like to hear more of that interview with Mick, then you can join us on Patreon, where there is an extended version available. Extended, that means longer. It's thanks to our wonderful, virtuous, glorious, radiant Patreon supporters that we can continue our quest to find out what the fuck is going on. And we're so close now. Just follow the link on our Twitter page or search for Patreon What the F. And for as little as £2 a month, you will get early access to ad-free versions of the regular episodes. That means that they'll be on Friday nights instead of Saturday. For the rest of your life, you will have had a whole day spare where you'll have heard it rather than been panicking about what might be in it. Or to really know at a top level what is going on for just £4 a month, you'll get a longer ad-free version of the episode with extended versions of the guest interviews and with extra Elliot. And there's bonus sketches. For example, this week, there is Britain's most patriotic man, Nigel Boulevard, explaining at last how to sort out everything in Ireland. So search for Patreon What the F. Just Google one of them things. Patreon What the F. And you will be on the way to joining the WTF community.
What the fuck is going on?
What the fuck?
As you know, we like to get all sorts of views on this podcast, so here once again is the master of gently teasing out opinions, Mike Concrete. With us next is Tony Marlborough. He's a press officer for the Pennines Rambling Association. He came on this show once before, and I told him he was discriminating against motorists by not allowing cars on his walks over the hills. Do you remember that, Tony?
I do, Mike. It caused quite a good fuffle, mate. One fella heard that and he drove straight through one of our rambles. He killed 6 sheep and his Range Rover's been stuck in a ridge over Cauldron Snight ever since.
Well, you want us to appreciate your countryside? He can do that now, can't he? Or a car driver's not good enough to enjoy your precious fields.
It were 3 miles from the nearest road. He lost control, ran over a flock of sheep, got stuck in a bog. He broke both legs and mountain rescue had to well lift him out. He kept shouting your name, saying you inspired him to do it.
He's a hero.
Do you know what? I was told I was coming on here so you could apologise to me.
What about getting the sheep to apologise for causing an accident? They get away with murder, wandering about in front of cars causing accidents.
It's a 2,000-foot high ridge over the River Tees, Mike.
And I suppose it's a 20-mile-an-hour zone as well, thanks to Sadiq Khan, is it?
Well, the Pennines aren't in London, Mike.
There's a war against the motorists. We're not allowed to drive through school buildings anymore. We're not allowed to have a few pints to relax before we drive. We're not allowed to drive across the sea.
You could never drive across the sea.
Yes, you could. See you, Tony. That's enough of that, idiot. No wonder my son hasn't spoken to me for 9 years. Here's David Icke with some Valentine's Day recipes.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
It has come to that time of the week. Let wise and sage men kneel down before the majesty of the announcements. Let maidens stop on their bicycles, peruse the fields in which they are situated, and wait for the tannoy to tell them what to think. It is the announcements. And this week, I solemnly declare that all announcements across the land can only be in order to bring good fortune to the king. I haven't been on a train in this last few days, but I hope and I'm certainly pretty certain that it is the case that now when a train leaves a station, the announcement says the next station stop on this 9:37 service from Catford Bridge is irrelevant. It doesn't matter where we are. What matters is that we all use the power of our minds and of prayer to bring solace to His Majesty in this time of need. I would hope that in the Co-op, in Asda, in Aldi, even in Waitrose, your supermarket of choice, I would hope that the announcements are, we would like to inform customers that custard powder, clotted cream and yoghurt are currently only to be sold to people who will pass it on to the king in order that he can have the widest possible choice of provisions that he may need for his forthcoming treatment. And I would like to add to that solemn, solemn necessity. Thank you. I've not got any gigs coming up anyway, to be honest, at the moment. Also, people have been getting in touch with us on our Patreon account, as well as on Twitter, wanting to know what the fuck is going on with certain things. For example,
Mark Ridley on Twitter asks, with members of the royal family either ill, recovering from surgery, or not trusted with the youth, should they try and loan a couple of royals from another country for 3 months with a view to buying them when the royal transfer window opens? I think that's an excellent idea, Mark. Now, for people who don't know, this is very much what happens in the world of football, right? So if you've got a lot of injuries or various things have gone wrong in your football club, you're allowed through the month of January to buy or maybe loan players from other clubs. And this would absolutely work for the royal family. I don't see why not. And then you'll get a very excited journalist like you get on Sky Sports on the last day of the transfer window, going, and we are hearing that Prince Mogilvie of Denmark, 11th in line to the Danish throne, has come over on loan and he's coming over for a medical at Windsor Castle this afternoon. We will be at the airport to track his progress. If it goes well, then he will be given certain tasks, launching ships. They've got a couple of those in Denmark. He's going to be able to open a footbridge. I think he could be put in very, very quickly to open one up at Penrith next Monday. And that could be very, very exciting. There is an option to buy him, so he would then be permanently. I don't know who he would replace. There's obviously a question mark over Harry, the Duke of Sussex. And that could be very, very exciting. We'll be interviewing him very, very shortly. I think that could happen. Excellent idea, Mark Ridley. Safarism, one of our Patreon supporters, says, great to hear positive news. I didn't know what positive news you were talking about there, Safarism, for a moment, but you go on to enunciate. Full disclosure, I only signed up on Patreon to make sure Mark was still alive. Now, I don't know. If I wasn't still alive, I think you probably could still sign up on Patreon because, you know, I guess that my son and daughter would have to sort out my affairs, and I'm not sure that dealing with Patreon would be the first thing. Would it be? Oh, Dad's gone. Oh shit, we're gonna have to sort out the Patreon account because there'll be people might be signing up and he's dead, and then that's going to cause an administrative problem, isn't it? I don't know what does it affect tax? I don't know. But it's very, very kind of you, Safarism, to sign up to Patreon. And indeed, each week when I say sign up, why not sign up to Patreon? You get ad-free programs and it comes earlier and all that. And there's extra little bonus sketches. And you find out if I'm still alive. To be honest, you've got a fair idea if I'm still alive from the normal one. But AI is making great progress and perhaps, you know, life will be considered unnecessary for carrying on with a podcast. Safarism also goes on to say, what the fuck is going on with the king? Do you have any inside information from the cancer patient forums, Mark? Well, I've not been on the cancer patient forums. I don't know what they're like. If they're like most internet forums, they're full of angry people probably going on, how dare you, liver patient 64319. I love Arsenal. You're talking shit. Don't you know nothing? Piss off yourself. Fuck off. What do you know about radiotherapy? Shut up. Piss off. Fuck off. I've not really been on them. They might not be like that. They're probably full of very lovely people sharing information. But I wonder if there's a new person on there at the moment going, can anyone offer me advice? Particularly the hospitals that I've been to is like awful. This parking situation is ghastly. I paid for a ticket as I went in, and they've still fined me. This is on account of the my gold carriage was taking up 4 spaces. What am I supposed to do about that? So. Maybe he is on there. I'll have a look. Steve Roy on Patreon asks, Mark, another football question. As a Luton Town season ticket holder, do you think Palace will finish above us? Now, for people who follow the Premier League, Luton Town, it's a very romantic story in very many ways, with their tiny ground, and you have to, you know, walk pretty much between people's gardens to get to the away ends and stuff in this Premier League of multi-squillion pound teams, some of which are owned by entire countries, Saudi Arabia, for example, and Palace are not amongst that number. But anyway, Palace have been terrible. Right, you know what? Yeah, we are going to finish below you, pretty much certainly.
unless I think we're going to finish below anyone who doesn't have 175 points deducted for playing a team of wild animals from the Serengeti who then ate the opposition. I'm not quite sure I think that, but that's my feelings at the moment. Finally, a huge thank you to all our Patreon supporters, and especially to Rob Osborne, who became the latest Patreon supporter to sign up for the gold-plated What the Belief Beggaring Fuck Is Going On level. Thank you so much. See, we've got so many Patreon supporters now. We only need another 200, and we will officially become a cult, and then you'll all have to come and live round here until I feel that we're being discovered by the state, and then I'll give you all some pills.
What the fuck is going on?
Don't even, this is a really serious warning to anyone who's thinking of doing it. Don't try to work out what the fuck is going on without advice from the younger generation, especially people who are 27 and 7/12, that sort of age. Luckily, I have with me someone specially bred for the purpose, Elliot Steele. Hello.
Hello.
So, do you know what's going on now? I've just eaten a banana, by the way. I'm absolutely delighted by that.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, that is really good. Because as we sit here, it's 2 days since I was told I can eat whatever. I couldn't eat anything before that. I had to just put stuff through this tube. And and then they said, oh, no, all your mechanisms are all right. But the trouble is I don't want to eat anything. So, I've just got no desire to eat it. I don't know why that is at all. And then my taste buds are all completely upside down. Totally upside down.
Yeah, but they'll come back shortly.
No, they might not do it. It might take years, apparently. But, you know, I'll just get used to it.
But they still come back.
They will eventually, yeah, when I'm about 106. And then I won't know where. I'll go, oh, yeah, this tastes like something. The tangerine. Granddad.
The government will still have you working as well,
really. Yeah, they will still have me working.
That's now, mad. There's going to be 70-year-olds with 20-year-old co-workers.
Yeah.
On a bond.
Yeah. And they'll be getting called into HR and that because they've said something that the 20-year-old doesn't.
You know. Yeah, you can't have, that's too big an age group. You can't have those people working with each other.
Well, seeing as the football team we support has an even bigger age gap than that between their manager and some of the players.
Yeah.
And that's working out well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Hodgson seems very liberal, so it's all right. I imagine if we had Sam Allardyce with the Crystal Palace squad and then he walks in and he'll go, right, that's enough of that bloody music.
Yeah, and all that. Oh. Right, last one to run round fields, a great big steaming puff.
Yeah, he just walks in and they're listening to drill music and he's like, turn that reggae off.
We have Frank Sinatra before we go out.
Yeah, put some proper music on with a guitar, none of that drum shit that you lot like. Sam Allardyce is called into HR every week because he keeps just comes in one week. Now, what before we even play a game, is there going, you know, we're a fast outfit on this team, we got a lot of speed, and everyone's, no, Sam, no, you can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. There's these 27 cases of problematic language.
He did keep us up, but he has managed to insult every member of staff from the captain of the first team to the Somalian lady working at the dinner and just working at the desk. He has upset everybody.
It's Africa. It's Africa, Sam. No, I know that you could argue that bongos came originally from Africa, but you can't call it that. Oh, Jesus. No.
They're taking a knee before the game and Big Sam's the only one booing. Why is our manager booing our team, taking the knee? Why do we have to wear a poppy every week, Sam? Why do we have to have a poppy on our pit every week?
You know, when you said we are very, very happy to introduce the women's team so that they can go around and do all the dishes of the men's team while they're playing, that really didn't go down well with our core support.
What? Right, it's just that Will Hughes hasn't played many games, so why has he been made captain?
For people who don't know, which will be all of you, he's one of the only white players. Right. Well, I think that'll be a challenging and fruitful example of diversity in football to have people of that generation and that amount of northernness.
Yes, there is not one group in that bit that we haven't been offensive to, which makes it all right. That's when it's okay. You're being horrible about everyone, then it's all right.
Now, while we're on the subject of old people not understanding things, here's something I would really, really like you to explain to me as much as you can. I have no idea, and I don't think anyone my age does, about cryptocurrency. There's a bloke this week, he lost something like 600 squillion pounds on Bitcoin or something and got it back or something. And I thought, what? Because why don't get it? Where is this money? Where does it come from? I know that all money is just in banks and accounts and you don't see it physically, like in like the bag of sovereigns. But what is it?
It's hard to explain because I kind of have very limited. I view crypto like this, right? I don't get involved with crypto because by the time it gets to people like me, it's becoming like a scam.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yes, like a pyramid selling scheme.
If you ever look at 08, a lot of what 08 was, as much as it was the banks being fraudulent and all of this, it was them going to fucking idiots, hey, you earn £25,000 a year, why don't you buy a £500,000 home? And then they'll go, oh, okay, can I afford that? And the bank will go, yeah, there's like low interest rates, so you can afford that. And they'll go, brilliant. And then the bank will go, right, now that you've been paying that £500,000 home off for 6 months, why don't you buy another £500,000 home? And that will go up in value. And then you say, and then the person will go, oh, why don't I buy two other £500,000 homes? And the bank, why don't you do that? And then you go, right, how are you going to pay for this £1.5 million that you now owe interest on with your £25,000 a year? And they'll go, well, I'll just sell the homes. And you go, yeah, but who to? Who's going to buy the homes when eventually everyone's done that? And not everyone can own three £500,000 homes. And then the whole thing collapses. And these people go, well, I just couldn't see how that was ever going to backfire. And it's kind of like that with crypto.
So that is like any economic bubble, going back to the Dutch tulips and so on, when people bought bonds for tulips and forget what the thing is, what the commodity is. It's just a thing that can only ever go up in value.
So it's kind of like, my thing is, I'm too stupid to be involved in the beginning of it when everyone's going to be making money. But I'm smart enough to realize when everyone's telling me I'm going to make money, I'm probably going to lose all my money. That's my logic. And that's what crypto is.
Well, thank you so much, Elliot. I now understand considerably less about it than I did before. It's not your fault, but I'm really glad. I'm so hopeless with money. I'm so glad. The number of schemes I've avoided in my life. Endowment mortgages. You're too young to remember them. Endowment mortgages. Everyone got an endowment mortgage. Oh, no, it's amazing. You get this mortgage and all you have to pay off is the interest and none of the capital of your house. And so at the end of 25 years, you've paid absolutely nothing off whatsoever, but you get this massive lump sum of £70 billion and you're able to buy a planet and we're going to buy Saturn. And then about 5 years later, the whole thing was fucking exposed as a total international scam and everyone was bankrupt and had eaten their children to survive. And I just thought, oh, I don't understand it. I'm not going to get it. I remember sat in front of a bloke who was trying to sell me an endowment mortgage. Go, and I said, but I don't understand it. It's not, how does it work? You can't get money out of nothing. And then there was and then there was one. They were trying to sell me some scheme what was this? Maybe this was when I got a mortgage. And he showed me this. He had a folder with a plastic sort of sheet in it, and behind was a pound note in them days. And then it was like a picture of a bed. You put the pound under the bed, and in 5 years' time, it's still worth a pound. And then there was a pound note, and beside it was a picture of a bank, and in 5 years' time, the pound would be worth £1.60. And then there was his scheme that he wanted me to invest in, a pound, his scheme, and then like £70. And he said, so which one would you rather have? And I thought, well, this is just stupid. So I said, I don't know. And he said, well, look at the three at the end. Which would you rather have out of a pound, £1.60 or £70? I said, I don't know, mate. I really don't understand these things. And he went, well, all I'm asking is if I offered you a pound, £1.60 or £70, which of them would you have? Because I said, I'm maths, economics, I'm terrible with it. He said, well, no, what would you rather out of those three sums of money? I said, I'm telling you, mate, I don't understand how business works. And he got so angry, this bloke. And I said, well, how do you know that that pound's going to be £70? And he goes, well, the stock market goes up and we invest it. And I said, well, what happens if the stock market doesn't go up? It doesn't always go up, does it? What happens if it goes down? And he went, well, then we're all fucked, aren't we? And he just shut the folder and walked out. I felt a little victory. And that's why we're poor.
And that's why, and Mr. Bill Gates, after giving you your offer to invest in Microsoft, I've got to jump off. I've got to start work.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much, Elliot Steele. Oh, shall we tell about your tickets?
Oh, yes, I'm on tour. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter and come see me on tour and find all my live dates there.
There you go. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you've liked it, rate it. And if you could be bothered, write a review. If you can't be bothered, absolutely write a review. Even if the world runs out of writing implements, fashion one out of a tree. And if there is anything at all that you think I should be finding out what the fuck is going on with it, then please send me a message on Twitter at WTFisGoingOnPod, at WTFisGoingOnPod, and we will look at every message that you send. If you would like to become a WTF supporter for as little as £2 a month and get early access to ad-free, nothing is ad-free anymore in this world. A newborn baby comes out of the womb screaming, WeBuyAnyCar.com. But this will be ad-free. And extended version, they're all available. Please visit our Patreon page. What the Fuck Is Going On was hosted by me, Mark Steele, with my guests Mick Ferry and Elliot Steele. Voices by Sarah Alexander and Mick Ferry. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair. The music was by Willie Dowling. It was produced by Mike Benwell at Carousel Studios. What the Fuck Is Going On was brought to you by WTF Productions.